least Protestant of them. Deism, I don't know if you want to call it a religion, but with the scientific revolution and enlightenment, just a different view of God came about. That if we're able to see that, you know, all these things happen not by a miracle, but by these natural laws, you know, maybe the creator, because the assumption was always you need, you know, some kind of creator. Maybe the creator created all these laws and set all these things in motion. And just like a clockmaker, once he's done, winds it up one last time, sticks it on the wall, it runs on its own.
It's like he fired.
He's not getting involved, but you know, he's not becoming a man and coming, you know, and all that stuff. It's an example of. Well, no, I don't have time for that. But one thing I forgot to put on new inventions that I just remembered. Apparently, I think it was Galileo invented the pendulum. I didn't know whether to include that. I was going back and forth on it.
Galileo was wearing.
Same guy.
That's all. I got it, but I was.
Luther's challenge. All right.
Oh.
Luther's challenge. To the church. Luther versus the Pope. Was it Leo the X or Leo the something? I'm not sure. It doesn't matter to me. Not right now. I'm messing up Mike's audio. If you want to boil Lutheranism down to three things, you could do. Do much worse than sola fide, sola scriptura, and sola Christi. Faith alone is the first one. How are you saved? What must I do to be saved? By your faith, just like the thief on the cross. He didn't do anything to make Jesus go, hey, I'll see you in paradise. He didn't say it that way exactly. But he didn't do anything. He had a change of heart. Something happened internally. Because based on his actions had gotten him onto the cross. He was being punished by man for those, but by his faith and by the love and mercy he felt for Jesus next to him, he was saved. That's what saved him. Not giving money to the church. Not by taking communion. Most Protestants don't even take communion every week. It's the centerpiece of the Catholic Church. Most Catholics still believe in transubstantiation, that there is an actual change in the wine and in the bread into the blood and the flesh. Luther tried to rationalize it a little bit more and said, no, they still stay that way, but they are filled with grace when you do it. But then others are just like, it's just you do it in memory. It's a ritual with nothing magic going on. And there is, the word magic makes people uncomfortable sometimes when you talk about religion with it. But, I don't know, the priest stands at the altar and says things and moves his hands around. And now it's, you know, before it gets to the altar, if you trip and spill the wine, people will be like, you know, oh, no. After it's been blessed, you trip and spill the wine, somebody's Italian grandmother's going to have a heart attack. It's like, because that wasn't just wine anymore. I'm not trying to crack jokes in the air like, I'm making fun of people. No, I'm trying to say that, you know, this is a difference. How do we, you know, what do we know, how should our church be operated? What traditions should it follow? The scriptures alone. Only the scriptures. And that's why in a Lutheran church a priest can get married. Because there's nothing prohibiting it. In the scriptures. Sola Christi. It's Christ. It's not your favor with the Pope that matters. The Pope used to wield the sword of excommunication. And he'd get his way with kings. Because he threatened to excommunicate them from the church. You do what I say. Your relationship with Christ. The Pope can think you're a dirtbag. The Pope doesn't even have to know your name. So, I mean, is there more to Lutheranism than that? Yeah, okay. But for our purposes, are there any Lutherans in here? Does this sound like a catechism class? Oh, she's not a Lutheran.
Wait, Lutheran has
catechism? I thought Ad Fontes!
That was a Catholic thing.
Lutherans go to catechism. It's not Catholic catechism.
Yeah, because I'm like, catechism, I thought catechism and Catholic.
Boom.
Ad Fontes, to the sources, right? That Renaissance theme. The sources. All right? What should I do if somebody, you know, attacks me? Well, according to St. Augustine, it's like, wait a minute, Jesus talked about this. So who cares what Augustine said? Let's quote Jesus. It's a good source. Luther preached the priesthood of all believers. Now, under the Catholic Church, the priest holds a great amount of power over his clergy. I mean, his clergy. He is the clergy. Over his parish. He hears confessions. Now, that was something that turned into a very political thing because the priest could get all the dirt on people. Right? And so, I mean, I'm not saying that every priest was like, if you don't do this, I'm going to tell on you. You know, no. But if you are a believer, if you are devout, you're a priest of sorts. A priest is a pastor. He's simply there to help you. Okay? He's a guide. He doesn't have any special powers to get you into heaven. When the priest in confession says, you know, does the wave of the hand and forgives you, you've already been forgiven because you've confessed because in your heart you had repentance. It's just show when the priest does that. And maybe an early form of counseling, too. You know, it's good sometimes to talk to other people about your problems. The political implications for these Germans and others, you know, Scandinavians, wait a minute. I can go to heaven without the Pope, you know, needing the Pope. I don't got to send money. I don't got to do... Awesome. Okay. But also, before you... I heard some people talking about Luther wanted to talk about separation of church and state. No. Politically, Luther tended to support absolutism. You know, the belief that I wouldn't say quite so much of divine, divine authority, but the people should follow their king, and it is unrighteous to rebel. Yeah.